Welcome to Fuji Love. This is the show that is all about the Fujifilm X-Series and GFX cameras, but more importantly, it's about the photographers who love to use them. I'm Mark Sadowski, and this show is brought to you by Fuji Love Magazine. For the latest and greatest in all things Fujifilm X-Series and GFX, whether it's news, interviews, and so much more, head on over to fujilove.com. Subscribe today. And now, on with the show. And again, we're just going to go natural with all of this. I was looking through your website.
Mm.
And first of all, I love the photography. The New Zealand weddings, from what I've seen, your brides have such a great fashion for like simple but elegant dresses.
yeah.
With the spicy one, but for the most part, they're not loud. They're very nice. It's so refreshing to see.
I think that is very much in our culture, right?
Yeah.
Like I think we're a very
New Zealanders, very
chill,
relaxed,
very laid back.
Yeah. Sometimes there's a lot of a backyard casual style. I mean, most of our couples don't really want things to feel like a photo shoot or a staged production. People say they're like, you know, allergic to staged photos, and like, yeah, I think Kiwis are just very relaxed.
Yeah, I think
great time.
Yeah. Just, yeah, we often ask people, like, what are you most looking forward to for your wedding day? And it really is. It's just like just being around people. I think we, as a culture, want to be everyone else's friend, you know? It's awesome. And I think it just kind of carries through, like you said, into the fashion styles even, where it's like, you know, you're still going to dress up, but you're going to keep it, so you'll keep it elegant, but not too outrageous, not too loud, you know, and it's good.
And I think the brides, it's something I actually hadn't considered. I guess I don't know what the fashions are like around the world, but I feel like we have a cool balance of couples that are really stylish, and it's often really like understated sort of fashion.
Yeah. And not afraid to go somewhere and get dirty, right? Yeah. I think we've got a little line on our website, on like our pricing page. It's like, you know, we can't guarantee your dress is still going to look pristine at the end of the day. And I think a lot of people resonate with that. And they're like, yeah, we want to do something. We want to go somewhere, which is great because it really takes advantage of New Zealand's natural beauty as well. You know, yeah. It's awesome.
That is so cool. Here in the States, I like to say that our fashion is England's 5 years ago.
Okay. Without the hat.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have no idea who we kind of mimic for that.
I think we're just this little melting pot of, we're this little tiny island down the bottom of the world. And so we're probably looking at so many different sources for fashion around the world. I guess it's like a mixture of like the States, but then like a European influence, but then obviously got a New Zealand twist to it, or sometimes people will add things that are uniquely New Zealand. I had a couple the other week who, instead of exchanging wedding rings, they exchanged punamu, which is kind of a Māori greenstone.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was beautiful.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, I think we're a very multicultural society as well. So we'll often find, you know, we'll be doing something really casual, like a backyard sort of barbecue almost for a wedding day. Yeah. But then the next week we might have like a big multi-day Indian wedding. We've got quite a big Indian community here. We've got quite a big Southeast Asian community here,
we've done like various Assyrian weddings, traditional Chinese weddings.
And then the next week we might be on top of a mountain or like a cliff above the ocean, Wellington, where we're from as well, is also very windy. So we get that windswept look is kind of amazing as well. Yeah, it's a real mix here. It's really great.
Awesome. I think as well, a lot of our couples, it seems, are very interested in, yeah, like kind of fashion, coffee, craft beer, having a good time.
As all weddings should be.
Yeah, I reckon.
I am speaking to Michelle and Hemi, which, by the way, has to be one of the coolest names I've ever heard. They are the photographers behind Patina Photography, all the way down in New Zealand, where you're enjoying the reverse weather that we're having.
Yep.
It is so good to have you guys on the show. And I have to say, your wedding photography is spectacular. You are official Fujifilm ambassadors down in New Zealand, correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Very cool. So you are my first couple that are wedding photographers. I gotta ask, that I've talked to officially for an interview. I've met other wedding photography couples, but I mean, the first thing that I always want to ask is, like, what is that dynamic that you're photographing a wedding and then trying to be encouraging but also trying to get the job done? Like, how do you manage that important time of doing wedding photography and then, you know, coming home and relaxing?
I mean, we wouldn't have it any other way, right? We love it.
Yeah, it's great. Like, I think it means that we kind of have two sets of strengths going on, you know, and we can lean on each other in really particular ways. I mean, look, that's not how it started. Like, we kind of did this, we started this business really soon after we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I think some of those first years, like, there were some arguments, there were some tough times and stuff, but I also think it kind of, like, we got good at dealing with conflicts really fast, because any time down with that is literally bad for business. Yeah. So we kind of developed a whole bunch of hacks and that around that. But definitely, I think now, like, once we kind of found our groove, it's amazing just to kind of have to be able to find your strengths and to be able to kind of give each other the things that you're good at. Like, Michelle is just amazing with people, just absolutely, like, a total joy to be around.
No, stop it.
Yeah. I think we were asking on IG once, right?
Yeah,
and like,
yeah,
on Instagram. If Michelle was a puppy, like, what would she be?
Finnish Spitz.
Oh yeah.
So you should good. Google that, they're adorable. But no, I think we just like being together, we like working together. We actually shoot a lot of weddings separately now, and we often miss each other on days and are coming home like really excited to tell each other like what our individual weddings were like. We basically just spend most of our time together, and like Hemi said, we've found lots of ways to kind of identify and like play to our strengths, and they're quite different, like almost extreme opposites. I'm quite extroverted, Hemi's quite introverted. Got a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions. Hemi's got a lot of systems and organization.
I was going to ask, so he mentioned your strengths. What would you feel be Hemi's strengths in photography?
Oh, what, my goodness. That? Okay,
I'm
well,
totally opposite. I'm going to have you analyze yourself, and then we're going to test you at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Do that for sure. I mean, Hemi is just the king of organization, basically. I think most photographers, when I meet a lot of photographers, they're a little like me. They've got a lot of emotions and they're just bouncing in every direction. Whereas Hemi is this just like wizard of like systems processes. He loves a challenge, and he loves to like think through and problem solve. And he's just like got this brain that is incomprehensible to me, because it's just amazing how I will just complain about something, and then he's like, "Oh, I've made a little like app or something that solves that." And I'm like, "What? How? What? How?"
Yeah, I've been playing with a bunch to do with AI at the moment. I created like a little AI bot that will help people plan their weddings and like guide them through the process. It's pretty fun.
He made one as well. Like I would ask him every day, like, do you think I need to bring a jersey with me? What's the weather today? Because the weather here is wild and it changes all the time. And he was like, oh yeah, I've made a little bot that can help solve that. You know, so Hemi just does this thing where he just takes a problem and then he just like solves it with his beautiful nerd brain.
And I think like photographically as well, right? Those same sort of skills cross over. Like, so Michelle said we shoot together separately a lot more, but nowadays, but when we do get the chance to shoot together, like it's so much fun because I'll often do more of the work in terms of like finding the frame, setting up the frame, structuring that. And then Michelle is just kind of keeping like the energy and the joy going throughout the shoot. And like it's that kind of perfect mix. And I think one of the things that we love about weddings, or that we try and bring into our wedding photography, is that we don't want people just to have a beautiful photo, but we want them to have an amazing experience, so that when they look at this photo, they're looking back and they're just going like, wow, that was a great time. Being able to work together, being able to lean on each other and like let each other play to those strengths, it's amazing.
It's so much fun. One of the things that I tell couples is I want you to look at your photos 30 years from now and remember the day that you had. If you remember 30 years from now, then I consider myself a failure, because you should not remember the person who shot the photo. You should remember the experience that you were having.
Yeah. It's good, right? Like these photos are such a chance to take them back and help them remember the day that they want to remember, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
And then I follow up by saying, you can remember me 5 years from now, because I could use the referral.
When your friends are getting married and they need a photographer, remember me then.
From now is the cut-up.
I love that. I love the idea that, we capture this like real, raw, like emotion, and it becomes this little time capsule that we get to give to the couples and they get to like relive it and that kind of thing. But you also definitely notice us on a wedding day. Like we're very much like there, and we're very much like friends with the couples. And actually last night we were, you know, chatting until like midnight, and we're like, oh, we better go, because we were hanging out with a couple who we'd shot their wedding, and we've just like made so many friends with so many couples that we just hang out with regularly. And you know, and just we're like, yeah, we're just, the time just goes, just catching up and just chatting. And so I think each couple is really special to us, and we spend a lot of time getting to know people, and we love like, being friends with them afterwards and hanging out and like reminiscing. And it was cool. These guys got married like six years ago, and they were showing us their album that they'd made and like all the prints on the wall. And we're all just reminiscing about that time when we ran through the sand. And it was great.
Oh, that's so
Much. I don't know if it's a Kiwi culture thing, but I think we definitely like, we love to cross the boundary between, you know, a service provider and just doing the work, and into actually like a relationship with these people. I think one of my favorite quotes, I always forget who said it, but it was a National Geographic photographer, and she was saying like, how'd you get such great photos? And she was like, I was not afraid to fall in love with these people. And it kind of always stuck with me as an idea of like, it's, you get your best from people when they feel like you're with them, like you're part of them, like you're a friend, and then they're comfortable around you. And I feel like that's really our way of getting the realness out of people.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, we're like you know, we want to meet the couples before they book, and we're often, you know, catching up for a beer or a drink or, you know, and I know lots of other photographers are like, nah, just do like a 30-minute Zoom call. And I'm like, our meetings are always going over time because we're just having too much fun and we're just drinking and hanging out with them or getting a coffee. Or, you know, like we had a couple come in the other day and their dog just did like zoomies, you know, when they like pick up speed and he was like zooming around the office. Yeah. And we were just chasing him and we were like, oh wait, sorry, we should talk about your wedding. We were busy like with the dog playing with the chute. It was great.
That's so much fun.
We love it.
You know, I have to say that post-COVID, the fact that I've had so many more Zoom calls, I don't get to meet the couples face to face as much as I used to prior to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel that's a huge loss. It's I try to encourage meeting them. I mean, sometimes you can't, but yeah, that initial meetup with them is such an important icebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things. It's such a delight getting like the people we get to meet and hang out with.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, you get such a better feel in person, don't you?
You do. I mean, you need to connect with them just as much as they need to connect with you. And if that vibe isn't correct, even though, you know, the couple may be awesome or if they feel your photography is awesome, but if that connection isn't there, then it's in everybody's best interest to go separate ways and find the right fit for them. So I totally hear you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you shoot a lot of weddings, Mark?
Say that again.
Do you shoot a lot of weddings?
I do.
Over there in Boston?
That's my primary profession here.
Oh my gosh. And when do you find the time to do the podcast and the magazine and everything else?
Oh my God. I do not do the magazine. That is, I work for the magazine. I'm part of Fuji Love magazine, only on the podcasting side. The writers, I think they're doing God's work across the pond.
They are.
Yeah. I think our editor in chief is in London. The owner of the company is in Switzerland. And then all the writers are from all over the world. It's it's quite the venture. And then here I am in the States. Getting in touch with awesome photographers like yourself and having an awesome time, having great conversations. So,
yeah, that's lucky.
Win.
Good.
So wedding photographers, were you doing photography professionally, before you met and got married?
Not, well, would I say professionally? Maybe. we kind of met in the summer of, what was it, 2009? And I was studying, I was doing a fine arts degree, kind of majoring in photography, and Hemi was an architect.
I mean, I would say I was studying architecture and I was a draftsman, but it was, I was definitely in that world. And then you were kind of shooting like a little bit, right?
Yeah, we had to arrange our own wedding around the wedding bookings that I had that year. Like, I think we had like eight weddings on the go. That was my first kind of year of shooting weddings. And so we planned our own wedding on like a Thursday night just so it didn't interfere with all of my bookings that summer.
That's great. I know that. I remember those days.
Yeah. But that would have been like our first kind of season. In fact, actually, I would say that was like your first proper season. And I really only started shooting with you at the very kind of tail end of it. But so Michelle was kind of like a little bit of a talented photographer before we met. Like, so, you know, that's why we had a few that year, because
a few weddings on the go. Yeah.
You know, she was the talented friend with a camera, you know, and I encourage her to charge a little bit for it, probably way too little, but whatever the case,
I found terrifying, like every artist does, charging some money and being like, oh.
And then I would kind of tag along and I would help out at some things. I mean, many of these were our friends, so maybe I'd have even a role like MC for the wedding or something like that. And then as we kind of went along, I was pretty interested in this, being from
a design architecture kind of world. I was like, you know, I enjoyed the process of this,
like composing the photos and like, and of course, like most things Hemi tries, he was really good at it. And I was like, this is my thing. Can you not be good at it? And then realized like, hold on, you're good at this. How good.
But also, I mean, I got the cruisiest start that you could ever have as a wedding photographer.
Yeah. I was doing the heavy lifting, wasn't I? And you were just roaming around being like, get something interesting, be out of my way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly that. And so it just meant I could kind of hang back a little bit and find something really interesting and just really let kind of creativity, you know, take the wheel. And so we just sort of started off that process, right? We did we did 8 or 9 weddings or something that first season.
Yeah.
Then the next season, I guess when we actually had to like hustle a little bit to get work, we dropped it like a lot, I think.
And then we became like friends.
4 or 5, and we were doing cleaning jobs to make, you know, the ends meet and that kind of thing. We lived in a tiny
apartment, and yeah, we had actually so many other jobs on the go.
But we're able to build up from that again, and then I think we really kind of took off in that maybe third year. I'd say.
We made friends with our wedding photographer, Jason and Annetta, and we then moved into like a studio space with them, and like that was really cool having this shared studio space.
Mm.
And they would like refer some work, and we're still good friends with them. You actually sometimes you and Jason shoot together on like various commercial jobs, and
Yeah, I feel like finding a mentor type role like that is so helpful when you're starting out. If you can find someone who, you know, a little bit further along from you, and just being able to just glean the knowledge of them. It's all of the little things, you know, like, the tiny questions you have as you're going along.
We didn't go to business school. We didn't know anything about sales or marketing. I think Hemi said, should we start a business? And I'm pretty sure I said, like, how hard could it be?
I mean, we have to say that, otherwise we'll never do it.
Yeah. I kind of had this idea that, like, look, if we can just stay in it, like, we'll figure everything out as you go along. You know, like, I think a lot of this work is a trial and error type process, and it's great again, like if you can find someone and you can learn from their errors, that's really helpful. But a lot of it is you're learning. You've got to make some mistakes and you've got to learn to kind of get there. But yeah, if you can stick in and you can find your way to get through it, you get there.
The other day I had done something, and then Hemi said, oh, well, you know, that just means you've got experience. Experience just means you've made a lot of mistakes and you've learned from them.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to look at the bright side, otherwise it's going to haunt you.
It was great. And I think, I don't know even who said it. It was a business book that my dad might have given me or something that was essentially had just said, like, you know, that sales is just like a transfer of enthusiasm. Mm. And I thought, like, that's fine. We've got a lot of enthusiasm. And so, you know, I think when you're self-employed, you're essentially selling like yourself. And when you think about it like that, you know, sales isn't that hard. So we were just, you know, even when we were just newbies starting out, we were pretty like, we were just willing to try things and excited that people were booking us.
Oh, totally. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. One of the things I heard that was very new agey, but had a lot of merit to it in my head, is that like as artists, you're always afraid of charging money because it seems at the first onset of it feels like you're not worthy sometimes. It's a difficult process, like you mentioned earlier, to charge a lot of money. I mean, it's almost that stifling fear. But when you drill down to the transaction, money is just an exchange of energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
or just, like you mentioned, that exchange of enthusiasm, exchange of energy. Then when you're looking at it like that, the amount of energy you're putting into the person's day makes sense now. I don't want to say justifies it, but validates the price point that you're at.
Yeah. And I think it's a really good point as well. And it probably catches some of the idea behind famously, it's like the people who pay the least kind of expect the most from you or whatever. Yes. And I think when you're talking about this exchange of energy, and I'm like, yeah, when someone is actually putting some money behind their words to book you, they really are saying like, okay, I value the effort that you're putting in. And I think it's a really amazing way to kind of go into this relationship of client photographer with equalness, you know, that you're both putting in to get the best result out of this equation. And you kind of don't, like most relationships in life, you never want things to be too unbalanced, right? And I think, yeah. Cool. That's great. I like that.
Words of wisdom. Every now and then I'll come out with a... So during this initial time, you're just starting out as professionals.
Mm.
Were you... from the get-go in the Fuji system, or what camera system were you using around this time?
Yeah, we originally started out with Canon, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you were shooting.
Yeah. I was shooting Canon, and then basically Hemming is beautiful nerd brain again. Just, you know, you kind of were looking into you always wanted to customize things, I think. And then it was we did a road trip around like the US and the West Coast. Mm. And I think you bought your first Fuji camera on Amazon.
That
and it shipped so fast.
Yeah. So while we were traveling around, I think we're going to stay with a friend in Oregon at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were going to be passing through Oregon. And so we're like, I think no sales tax or something in Oregon. I don't know, something like that. And so we were like, can we get it pre-shipped there?
I said, no, of course not. Everything you buy on Amazon is going to take like a month to arrive because that's our experience here.
Mm. we got a little Fujifilm as a travel camera, picked it up there.
XT20?
Yeah. And you know, getting to shoot around some of your amazing national parks was amazing.
Oh, yeah, incredible.
It was awesome. And so we had this little system, and it was our first mirrorless camera as well. Mm-hmm. At this point, Canon was very behind the eight ball on that whole thing, that transition.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like the way that you can see light is just like a whole nother level versus, you know, the optical viewfinder. And you look through an optical viewfinder and you have to imagine what the images kind of come out like. Whereas I found like looking through a mirrorless camera, you're seeing like the image as it will be. You can see flare and you can see contrast and you can see all these things. And particularly the Fujifilm simulations, I was just like, we fell in love with the system really quickly. And we got back to New Zealand and we're about to kick off a wedding season. And I was like, should we switch over? and we switched over at that point. I think maybe the X-T3 had just come out.
We were X-T2.
Yeah, I think we maybe got like a couple of X-T2s to start with. And the X-T3 came like a month later and got that. And then we were off.
So what was that like shooting a professional gig starting with the X-T2s? Like what glass did you get to go along with that? And prior to jumping over to Fujifilm on the Canon systems, were you using zooms or primes?
Yeah, I think we've really been primes since fairly early on, right? We had a couple of Zooms at the very beginning.
I used to have 24 to 70 as kind of like my main workhorse on my Canon. It was a tough transition actually to go from Fuji. We tried many of the Fuji zoom lenses, and I think we weren't loving that. We liked the primes much better.
Yeah.
And so I remember you saying to me like, no, the zoom is your feet. I was like, what?
Yeah, I think, I mean.
And we went to two cameras.
I actually don't remember.
You don't remember, I don't remember trying
the zooms, but I
remember the trauma. That was a very tough transition for me.
Yes, thank you, Mark. It was. He loves new things, so he was all about it.
I think, but you're right, like in that, I don't know if it was before switching to Fujifilm, but at some point around that time, I got pretty heavily into, I prefer primes. And I think it's mostly, Michelle saying, move your feet, but I think it puts you in the driver's seat of shooting, you know? And I just feel like I felt like I was so much more engaged with the image creation process if I had to think more selectively about what focal length was I going to use right now and what's appropriate, and then get in the right position to kind of create that image. And I found like I was creating better images with primes, even though, you know, you have more of that limitation just because you're more engaged as a shooter. I kind of maybe forced us, I guess, to switch over to primes when we went Fujifilm. I think the 23mm was definitely, like, I'm a big, you know, 35 millimeter focal length for the full frame kind of thing. Like that was always my favorite focal length. And so 23 on a Fujifilm was like perfect. And then we had the 35 as well had a really great quality to it. And those really have actually just been like our two main focal lengths. We do a little bit at both ends. We've got a little bit wider and we've got a little bit longer. We've got the 56, but we don't use it that much.
Yeah.
And we tried a 90mm, but again, like it for the style that we shoot, I think where we are much more personal and much more engaged with people, those slightly wider lenses.
We use the 16mm we use a lot as well, like the dance, sometimes I'll be in a car with a couple like driving somewhere and I want that 16mm, or like on the dance floor, or I was in the living room of a Syrian wedding, and then like about like 25 people showed up with trumpets and drums, and I was grateful for the wider lens. But typically our favorites now, and probably from the beginning and still to now, are the 23 and the 33.
Yeah. We kept one Canon lens. So I had a 24mm tilt shift Canon lens.
Oh, yeah.
And 24mm is quite wide generally, you know, when you're on full frame and stuff. And so I liked it and use it occasionally. But man, when we switched over to Fujifilm and then going to crop, now that 24 is like a 35 is a tilt shift. And I'm just like, this is amazing. It's like my most favorite kind of, to bring a special quality. Yeah, I just had a simple adapter. And because it's a tilt shift, I didn't need the autofocus because you're often manually focusing it anyway. And I'm just like, it feels like a perfect lens on a Fujifilm camera. Just that, a 24mm tilt shift. And
do you have a specific moment during the wedding, or is that like you're all lens?
It's definitely like, it doesn't even come out for every wedding because it's also a beast. Like it's a big, heavy lens.
It's quite hard to remove it as well. Like once you put it on there, like you're like,
But there's particular situations where I just feel like it shines. Sometimes like particular light, like it has a real special quality to creating flare.
like, so that can be really amazing. I sometimes find when you've got like trees coming over the top, you know, just having that sort of quality of giving some extra bokeh to the trees. And then on blank, if you're going like a super minimalist shot, it's incredible for just adding this extra layer of interest and
I guess bringing the subject into like that's such a fine layer of focus that your subject really stands out. It's pretty fascinating, but it is a bit of a beast. It's quite heavy and it's quite hard to put on and off the camera. But typically I think nowadays we'd use that on like a couple shoot or something that was a little less fast paced than a wedding, or if we're shooting together on a wedding.
Yeah, if we're shooting together.
Or the timeline's super relaxed.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
But yeah, it creates a quality that you don't get very easily any other way.
But predominantly
it's a special lens.
The Fujifilm 50mm 1.0.
Yeah, we did try that out as well. I think it's a focal length that we don't use as much. So it was heavy. It was heavier than the 1.2 significantly. So I think that is
it is a heavy lens.
Yeah. And although, I mean, that said, we're now on the XT5s and the XT5s have a deeper grip. Mm-hmm. And those XT3s always, you know, you kind of felt like you're pinching the end of the camera a little bit.
Yeah, I think I got a finger cramp on an Indian wedding, to be fair. That was like 17 hours. That's not our standard coverage.
Yeah. So it's not something that I've gone back and looked at, but I feel like, it'd be balanced better on an XT5. My feeling. Yeah.
It's, I used it for one wedding. And it was magic. It was like shooting medium format on the X-Trans sensor.
Yeah, it is. It's gorgeous. The rendering of the background and that separation.
Totally. It has
special quality.
I called it shooting with the lens. It was like a piece of cake. But you're eating that cake with a fork that only has one sprocket on it.
Yeah.
Yep. I can see that.
Shot, it's perfect, but you miss the shot every now and then.
We also, a lot of couples that book us, they like, you know, they don't like to be that pose. They like things to be really like authentic. So typically, you know, we like to think that a good photo shoot is a bit like a good chat. So the camera just kind of happens to be there. But, you know, fairly often we are on like a 23 and we're like quite close and we're like talking with people. And so, yeah, I think the farther away the lens is, the more we're like, oh, wait, they know they're being photographed, you know. It's like a game that you know, to feel really natural and fun and stuff. So I think we both have said we could shoot an entire wedding on just that 23.
We sort of have owned every version of the 23, right? I think we started off with the original 23 1.4, and then we also got the f2 version, and now we're currently on the newer the 1.4, the version 2, which is an amazing lens. Like that new 23 and the new 33, like those
33,
just incredible. But I've actually been thinking just recently, like, that I might like to play with the f2 version again. I noticed one of the things that we love about Fujifilm at weddings, and like we get comments all the time about like, oh man, are you using like a film camera, or like, you know, you're like, oh, I love the look,
the retro look,
the style and that sort of thing. And I've kind of almost been thinking about leaning even more into sort of that doco sort of space and feeling like you're just, I don't know, you're just a cool like press photographer or something that's kind of like hanging out and just shooting this wedding. And I feel like even a smaller lens might give you even more of that feeling of the candidness and the casualness of just kind of snapping away at a wedding. So it's something I've been thinking about trying, but I think it's really nice to have a bunch of different lenses at the same focal point that are all great, and you can really, you can kind of pick them for the type of, like, it's not just about the photo that you want to create, but also like the mood that you want to create and the air you want to put out there as you're shooting.
But you bring up an excellent point in that the Fujifilm cameras are not, while they're attractive, they're not eyesores. Blend in. Have you noticed that when you made the switch that you're able to move around a little bit easier in that you're not attracting a lot of attention?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's an interesting mix between, like, you get more attention because people think this is really cool, and then, but also they're
so confused,
they're more relaxed around you as well, right? So and I think it's incredible, like, having a camera put in your face. I don't know. I think it's something photographers should always subject themselves to.
We do it a lot. Yeah,
it's bit of a weird feeling having like a big hunk of like black glass kind of pointed in your direction, and I think a lot of people instantly freeze up and feel real self-conscious about that. And I think the cuteness and the retroness of like the Fuji system is really disarming to a lot of people. And I think a lot of people are just like, they notice it and they comment on it and they're like, that's really cool. But then they're also just relaxed around you and they're just like,
oh, I mean, cool, we spend a lot of time chatting with people and stuff as well. But yeah, I think one of my favorites is that sometimes when I rock up to a wedding like by myself, I think just the fact that the cameras are small, or like people are looking around being like, you know, where's the real photographer? And I often see, like, you know, there's always some guy with a big Canon and an extreme zoom.
The Uncle Bob.
With like a vest that's got like batteries in it and like, you know, and like they're very serious about it. And sometimes I just sort of point in that direction, and then I'm able to get lots of beautiful candid shots while people are off talking to that uncle over there with the big camera. Mm. So I enjoy that a lot.
There was one wedding that I did. It was at a venue that was very, very compact. There wasn't a lot of room to move around. And I had an Uncle Bob show up with a Canon 5D with the battery grip.
Yep. Yeah.
70 to 200 lens.
Yeah.
A massive flash on top. I think it was the at that time the 600 flash with a Gary Fong light sphere on it.
Oh yeah.
I have my two, I think at this time it was the, I had two X-T2s at my side. He's like, those little things? You're going to shoot with those little things? I'm like, sir, it's not the size. But by the way, how are you going to shoot it? Are you going across the street to get your shot? Because you're a little close.
Yeah. It's 200 mils, right? You're just like, are you getting just people's nostrils? Like, you know, there's a time, like, look, a 200 mil is great in a particular situation, but quite often it's a very tight crop when you're in a little room.
Oh, totally.
We shot a multi-day Indian wedding the other weekend, and I was sitting down eating some naan bread, chatting to like a guy at a table, and he was saying, it's interesting that you guys have stopped and you're chatting and you're eating with us, because, you know, like a lot of the Indian photographers, they don't realize the kind of the impact they have. They often go around and they are just right up in people's faces with their flashes on, just taking photos of like people eating. And, you know, it was really eye-opening to think that a lot of our job, while it is photography and it is photographic, a lot of it is also just like, yeah, putting people at ease. A lot of it, like, I just think that good gear means that you can kind of trust the gear and it doesn't get in the way of like, yeah, a good connection, a good conversation. So I do have a lot of photographers very confused, like, why is this short girl with her tiny camera running around like in the background of things, or like, why am I talking to people and like instead of photographing them? Or there was a guy recently who was so confused about why I was spending so much time on the dance floor dancing, and I said, oh, it's about 90% dancing, 10% photo taking. Like, a lot of it is like building up trust and getting people to trust you. And so, you know, a bunch of the time is actually spent with the camera down, or like, you know, it's as much important to like connect with people as it is to photograph them. And it just seemed like he was very confused. He was like, but what kind of glass are you using?
How are you dancing? Because you can.
You got to get in there. Surely you get on the dance floor with them, Mark.
I get on the dance floor, but my dancing is subpar at best.
I'm with you.
It's I'll leave it to the professionals like yourself.
I wouldn't say there's dancing skills, just enthusiasm.
Oh, good. That is so cool that like the system has benefited you in blending in better. Although that doesn't seem to be a plot problem for both of you. You're both very charismatic and full of energy.
You are too.
How did the ambassadorship with Fujifilm happen?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I think we were friends with maybe Catherine. Someone introduced us to somebody at a party? Was it an NZIPP event, maybe?
Look, New Zealand is a tiny country.
And everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody's cousin, who's friends with their dog walker, who's friends with their, you know.
And so, yeah. So
somebody knew somebody that knew somebody.
We had a friend in the city, and it's she...
In preparation from Peter Jackson. I gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely, yeah, for sure.
We had a friend in the city, and she was a Fujifilm ambassador. And we were just like, we switched over the system and we're really loving it. And we can see that they don't have anything in the wedding. They didn't have any ambassadors in weddings yet in New Zealand. And so we were like, you know,
they had any couples either, actually.
Yeah. And so we were going like, would they be interested in something like this? And so she was able to help us like reach out through the process and chatted with the team who are based up in Auckland. And then it just kind of like flowed from there.
I think it had met somebody. And I mean, also at weddings, particularly Hemi is just like this technological genius. So he actually spends a lot of the time basically giving people camera lessons and like talking about food. So he was always an ambassador before he was an ambassador. Yeah. I would be like, oh, I guess I'm shooting this reception on my own because you've got four people standing around you and you're giving them a lesson about how to shoot Fujifilm then.
In charge of it.
Yeah, I should probably invoice them, but anyway, no, it's fine. And so also I guess like we're not, maybe it's a Kiwi thing, but like we're horrific liars, so essentially we only talk about things that we like anyway. So we were like, well, we like using these camera systems, so it's not very hard for us to yarn on about it for ages.
That's all good. I can say I can make a living off of that. With the Fuji system, I think you mentioned the film simulations. When you're doing weddings, or whether you're doing photography on your own pace, do you tend to favor the JPEGs, or are you favoring the RAW files?
The RAW files, I would say.
Yeah, I think we always shoot RAW. and we'll take the raw. But I think, and so then we'll take the raw and we'll edit it. But I think what you see on the back of the camera is just so much nicer than I've seen on any of the other systems, that you feel good about what you're shooting and it looks like it could be finished. So I think, and so, you know, what you're getting on the back of the camera is like, obviously it's the JPEG kind of quality that you're getting. And it's,
and we love the CC film simulator.
Yeah. The Kodak, classic chrome.
Beautiful. I was going to ask which one your favorite was, classic chrome.
Although I have definitely been thinking like, man, I need to jump into is it X Studio or something like that. And you can create your own simulations.
Yep.
Using that process and being like, okay, you know, we have our preset for our work. I should really be seeing what I can do to replicate that on the camera, just so it even more feels like you are shooting our finished work as we're going.
But I mean, like I was working with some two videographers the other weekend, and you know, I was able to show the couple like a little preview on the back of my camera screen, and like, you know, the couple, both of them came around and had a look at the videographers, and then the videographers after the couple kind of wandered off were like, whoa, that looks way better than on our like Canons, you know. So
it's never wanted to show people like the back of my camera when I was, you know, shooting with the Canon system. No. Because I'd be, you know, like it just looked flat and not dynamic. Whereas now I'm so happy to show them, be like, yeah, look at this, because the images are looking great on the back of the camera. So,
and they're really excited to see them as well. And you know, like at the end of the night, a couple were talking about like, oh yeah, and this shot, and they were just like describing it, and I was like, oh, I mean, I don't know if that will make it to the final gallery. No, we'll make it to the final gallery, sure. Yeah. You know, they love it.
It's so cool. With the switch to Fujifilm, you're deep in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see yourself branching out to say the GFX system, or is it the APS-C sensors the whole way?
I think the weight is a big deal for us. Like we like to be in there, and we like especially shooting for like more than 10 hours or for me personally, I love the simplicity and I love the weight of what I feel like I've just, my current camera setup is like the best for me. But Hemi, you probably delve into the idea of it more.
Yeah, I think I've played with GFX like a few times, and particularly since they brought out the wider lenses that they had, like, did they bring out, brought out something that was like a f1.4, maybe like a 40mm f1.4, something like that. Do you remember?
I don't remember the exact focal, but
anyway, they brought out a wider lens that had a shallower depth of field, and I was very tempted, and I'm definitely on to play with that. But I think There's also elements, I love new gear and I love playing around with it, but then at the same time, this is our work, and I'm also interested, and Michelle talked about, like, I'm big on the systems and processes, and part of that is being efficient with our things. I'm just like, adding another system, unless we could see ourselves switching entirely, I think we wouldn't carry a second system with us. So it becomes the kind of thing that I'd love to play with, but until I can justify that as sort of just a hobby level as opposed to a professional level, I think, we wouldn't get that.
I hear you.
Yeah. But it's a shame because it's an amazing system.
I think the file size was also a deterrent for us.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, the bigger one for me is that the physics of a bigger sensor means that, yes, you're adding some more weight. It also means it's like slower for focusing and more kind of rolling shutter effects and just all of those sorts of things. And I think, I mean, they brought out a new GFX, which is doing like they keep on pushing that technology forward, right? It's getting better and better and better, but it's ultimately physics is going to mean that that smaller crop sensor is just going to be better and on all of these aspects, even as you know, they're both moving targets. Totally. If that makes sense.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And those things are just, they're so important to us, you know, like I think, I mean, you were talking about the 50 mil F1 and it's really got me going, like, I wonder how it would be on the X-T5. You know, the X-T5 has improved autofocus so much. I'm like, maybe that lens might be an entirely different lens now, you know.
I'm actually thinking about renting it one more time just to
shot. Yeah.
But to the point you were making earlier, it is a heavy lens. It's
yeah.
Weigh it down. that bokeh is really nice, though. It really makes your portrait stand out. So maybe sometime this summer I'm going to dare to dream again have its own bag, because that thing is massive.
And it's a thing. Like, I think, you know, what we say today, I think you always have to keep revisiting your assumptions that you've made, right? Because things do move forward and they do, like, technology moves, and you've got to be like, okay, I might have rejected something for a reason in the past, but does that reason still actually exist anymore, you know?
Right. That's part of the adventure, something to look forward to.
It really is. It really is.
Well, I got to say, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you both. I had an amazing time. I would love to have you back on to
catch
up again. It's not every day I get to just basically flex a little bit and talk wedding photography, because it's just fun to share stories, and I'd love to hear more stories, especially in your neck of the woods with such wide variety of culture.
You're talking like weddings. Like, I feel like it's a very interesting industry as well. Like, in that you're getting thrown into a lot of situations very quickly and having to adapt and work, and I just think it makes it a very fun type of photography to shoot because of that. You know, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, we have a friend who is a wedding photographer, but she's just started working for the council, and you know, she was saying and another friend who was a wedding photographer who's got an event business now, and they were just saying wedding photographers are just, they're good at a number of things. Like, you have to be good at like with flash, and then with portraiture, and like, you're just doing so
many, read the light and
so many genres of photography all at once. So, you know, other industries love to contract in wedding photographers because they're used to just being thrown in the deep end and making something work.
Yeah,
totally. And on top of all that, you have to be the couple's foundation when everything is going to hell in a handbasket.
Absolutely.
That light for them to show, hey, it's all right.
Yeah.
All those days.
There's a lot. Like, it can be really daunting as a getting started in it, right? Like, there's so many little aspects to it, but
We loved, like, people are always coming up to us being like, oh no, I couldn't shoot weddings, you know, the pressure's too much and you have to produce amazing work. And, you know, we like to turn that pressure into excitement and gratitude, instead of it being something daunting. Like, it's so exciting. It's something we get to, you know, we're grateful, the people that trust us to shoot their weddings, and we meet so many amazing people, and we get to just, you know, capture any moment that we find beautiful, and people are gonna remember that, and it's gonna get more precious over time. And a little bit that ties into, like, why we named our business Patina. Like, it's kind of the process that, you know, these photos are gonna gain value over time.
Totally. Mm. I like to tell couples that pressure makes diamonds and
hey.
Not jokes.
I get.
You said it much more eloquently than I did. But it was a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much. Definitely have you back on. We'll do this again soon.
Yeah,
it's so good. I know we were both like, oh, we've got so much to say. We come from, yeah, we've both got such different skills, you know, like I've got so much like feelings and like emotions, and I love to like chat about all those kind of like realm of things. And Hemi's just so good at like all of these systems. And yeah, we've just, yeah, it's fun working together. But yeah, we also have lots of different strengths as well. Hey,
yeah.
So
we'll
save
that for part two.
Sounds perfect, Mark.
How good.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope to see you back next week. I wanted to also mention one more time that this is brought to you by Fuji Love Magazine. For the latest and greatest in all things Fujifilm X-Series and GFX, head on over to fujilove.com. Subscribe today. And my name is Mark Sadowski. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter, mostly Instagram though. I'm at Mark Sadowski, that's Mark with a C. And you can also check out my other podcast, X-Mark. It's a Fujifilm-esque kind of show, where it's more spice of life and pretty infrequent. But if you want more of my voice, that's the place to check it out. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.